you step out of the darkness into a room where the walls are mirrored up to the ceiling. In the reflection of the mirrors, you see yourself endlessly. The reflections shift your perception. You take a step into the sand, and the door closes behind you, and through speakers you can hear waves crash on the beach. It's almost like being at the beach, only everything here is artificial. In the middle of the room are two plastic beach chairs. In the corner, the kind of a water dispenser that you'd only find in an office building. The door has disappeared, and you have no idea where you came from or how you get out again. A man is sitting in one of the chairs. His kind eyes take you in, and he says,
"Hello.
Hey, welcome to the first episode of The Land of Plenty, the podcast. My name is Julian Hetzel, and I'm a performance maker and visual artist. The Land of Plenty was created during the Forum on European Culture, a festival that researches the future of democracy. Here at the Bali, we created this art installation called The Land of Plenty. Over 4 days, interviews took place in this box of self-reflection with people in power, in an attempt to shift the perspective. We invited alternative experts to moderate these conversations. In this episode, you're going to listen to Ed, who interviews author Arnon Groenberg, and director of Dutch culture, Kirsten van den Hul. When entering the room, they had no idea whom they would meet or what kind of questions were waiting for them.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Wait. Okay. Hi, Arnon is my name.
Edward.
Edward.
Nice to meet you,
Edward. So you're going to ask questions?
Yes, I'll be your interviewer today.
Okay.
Yeah. At the end, you get to ask me a question.
Okay.
So...
any question?
Any question.
Okay.
All right. I hope you have a good one.
I hope so.
Yeah. So let's start. Would you mind telling me about yourself? I have no idea who you are.
I'm an author, I'm a novelist.
Okay.
I have a son who's 2 years old. Mm-hmm. I live partly between in New York and in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I have a godson who's 18 years old. And I think, I was born in Amsterdam in 1971.
Okay, so you're
And my parents were not from the Netherlands, they were born in Berlin, Germany.
Okay. What kind of author? But like what?
A novel, novels. So I write mainly novels, but also sometimes I do journalism and columns, but to me, the most important thing in the hierarchy is in my work, is the novel.
The novel.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
I like the fact that we are sitting on sand.
Yeah, well, I'm an island guy, but this wasn't my idea.
No?
So, let's start. Where did you sleep last night?
In my apartment in Amsterdam, in the Grote Bickerstraat.
Okay.
My girlfriend wasn't home. I was alone with my son.
Okay. Well, I've been here for 4 days now doing interviews. You're the first person to tell me your address. And I've been waiting for that because my address might be a little special to you. My address is Vondelpad 32. That's walking route 32.
Vondelpad 32?
Yes. Third street to the right.
Isn't that... ah.
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
I am homeless.
Yeah?
And I sleep outside.
Are you homeless because you have no papers?
You are very good. Yes. I have been illegal in Holland for 12 years now. I've been here since 2002. But yeah, so you having a house in New York and Amsterdam, that's pretty special.
Yes. Well, yeah, because I moved to New York in 95 for love.
Yeah.
I fell in love with New York. I decided to stay there. And my girlfriend, although she likes New York, she doesn't want to live there all the time.
Okay.
So that's why I go.
So you have an empty house in New York.
Do you want to live in my empty house when I'm here? You know, I would like to offer this to you.
I would like to live in your empty house when you're in New York. That would be more...
That's something I have to discuss. I'm concerned, but have to discuss with my girlfriend.
Yeah. This follow-up question might be a good one then.
Yeah.
Before we discuss... what are you afraid of?
Of my body failing me. Let's say that I have an accident and I cannot see anymore. I cannot hear anymore. I cannot think anymore. I think that's hard to adjust. I'm not afraid of death.
No.
But the slow decay, that's something I would not like.
Yeah, I would. I have to do a lot of walking.
Yeah, of course.
And I would not want to lose my, be able not to walk. That would be, yeah. And I make music, and I'm like, I'd rather be able to walk than not here. So I could get that. Okay, there are a lot of questions. The theme of this is the land of plenty.
This is a land?
Yeah.
And this is, and are you the dictator here?
No, no.
Who are we in this land? Are you a citizen?
In this land, yeah? I am. Outside this land, I'm not.
Then it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's perfect, man.
So here we are equal.
Yes.
That's good.
What's your first memory with money?
Ooh, that's, I was getting some money from my parents to, every week I got, 50 cents or so. And to me, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to save it, and I did. Yeah, that's my first memory of holding the money I got, yeah.
Okay, what's the most expensive thing you own?
I guess the most expensive thing I own is, but it's not completely mine yet, is a house.
Okay.
That's the by far the most expensive thing I own.
And the most precious thing you own, most valuable?
Since I'm an author, I'm dependent on my laptop.
Yeah.
So without a laptop, I would not be able to work.
Laptop. That's a very common answer.
I'm a common person.
Stay humble, right? Okay, let's try to shake you up a bit. A difficult question. How much money do you have?
Oh, on me or altogether?
Altogether. Ooh. Don't be shy. We need a number.
You need a number?
Yeah.
But is this including the...
Everything.
I have to count. I would say maybe in dollars or euros, maybe 700,000 euros.
Yeah. Any crypto in there?
No.
No crypto?
I don't have any crypto.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I have some crypto. It's worth 100 euros. Nothing. It's nothing.
100
I bought
euros
it for much
is
more.
Nothing?
Well, that's not compared to the other amount, of course, it's something. I would never say that 100 euros is nothing.
Okay, because that's like, in my country, that's already 600. In Africa, that's much. And even in Holland, that's like a month worth of money for me.
You live on 100 euros a month?
100 euros a month would be a lot. Yeah.
But you get, where do you eat?
Salvation Army.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the food good there?
We get soup.
Only soup?
Yeah, soup at 12. But the last question, right?
I have so many questions for you. That's unfair.
You might never had this moment in your life, but maybe. Could you tell me about your brokest moment? Financially zero, rock bottom.
Oh, yeah. I was...
A student, you were eating noodles?
No, I've never went to university. I'm a high school dropout.
Nice.
Yes. I had my own publishing house.
Yeah?
And he had many debts. I had to pay the printers and translators. It still was Gilders, but about 60, 70,000 euros. And I didn't have any money on the bank. Mm-hmm. And I lived on a credit card.
And
then I emptied the credit card. I maxed it out.
Was this in New York or in
No, Amsterdam? It was still here. It was still
okay.
here.
Okay, you were living the American dream in
yeah,
Amsterdam.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah. So that was a moment I was broke. And but I never lived. I was never homeless. I had a house and... I had clothes and...
Could you describe, in your own words, how you envision, picture, describe the land of plenty to me?
Land of plenty, of course, is where you would be a citizen.
Thank you very much. Is there a place in today's society that you would say, well, that is the land of plenty? And it doesn't have to do with me, but you specifically. A continent.
Maybe Iceland?
Iceland. I think you're the... I'm not sure if you're the second person to say Iceland. But
maybe. The moment I would live there, I would say no, also not here. But
why Iceland, if I may ask?
I think I've been to Iceland only once. Not too many people live there. It's an island.
Uh-huh.
It's fairly rich.
Yeah.
And because there are not so many people, I think also there's a sense of community that people in... It's so empty in a way. People can take care of each other on a different level. Maybe not in Reykjavik, in the capital, but in other... Yeah. But maybe I'm romanticizing the island. I wouldn't want to live there, to be honest. I would say there's the land of plenty comes after death. There's no land.
After death.
Not that I'm not religious, but
okay.
I would not say there's a land of plenty. In many ways, I mean, this region, to many people, is a land of plenty compared to other regions in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Afghanistan, and even the poorest person in the Netherlands probably is better off than many people living in Afghanistan.
Yes, that's what I try to explain to people, because if I have to listen to the immigration, I have to go back to where I came from. I was born in Trinidad. I left there when I was 3, and I came here when I was 8. I lived other places, right? And now they want me to go back to a place that has boa constrictors and snakes. I'm like, I'm better off living in the forest in The Hague. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like way better here.
I thought you lived in Vondelpark.
No, the Vondelpark. Have you seen? It's way too busy, man.
It's way too busy.
Yeah, man. It's what it is.
What do you do in the winter?
You get to ask me
okay.
The last question.
Because
we have some big topics now.
Oh.
It literally says big topics, right? They're open to interpretation. I just want to know what you think, okay? What does hope mean to you?
Hope, that's what you need to go on, basically. Oh. The fact that we are still alive is proof that we have hope. You have hope, I have hope. And hope can be very dangerous. It's not only something that's good.
Okay, keep going, because the second question is hope a good thing or a bad thing?
It can be both.
Yeah?
Depends on the situation. It can be, you can be deceived by your own hope.
Yes.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. I think you should never have too much hope.
Yeah, having too much hope is like creating a mirage for yourself.
Yeah, not seeing reality anymore.
Yes. What is freedom to you?
I believe that in the end, we humans, we on a certain level, there is such a thing as free will. But, of course, government can oppress people. And freedom is the freedom also that, in a way, I mean, of two types of freedom, of course, that you have enough to have a decent life, but also that you are left alone to live your own life according to your own wishes. Within the law, of course, and with certain restrictions, but still I believe that people can make their own choices and should make their own choices without me judging you for what you're doing or you judging me for what I'm doing.
No. Do you think art can change society?
Do you think art can? Sometimes. The change doesn't have to be good. Art can be very dangerous.
Yes. Now you get to ask me a question.
I have so many questions. So you applied for asylum, I guess.
The IND immigration, they say you're from a tropical island, you're not asylum seeker, or you're not a refugee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. But if I Google the country where I'm supposed to go back to, Trinidad and Tobago, on a Dutch internet, it says don't go there, it's too dangerous for the Dutch citizen.
Have they ever tried to send you back to Trinidad?
They have never caught me, no.
Keep the good work up.
Yeah.
What do you want to become, to be?
I want to become a real Dutch person and go live in Spain.
And go to?
And go to Spain.
And go to Spain. That's a, that's a good time. And do you sometimes work on the black markets?
Yeah, I do a moving job, odd jobs here and there. Like,
so if I need you, I can call you for give me your number.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I pay well.
Yeah. Anything is better than
I also need a babysitter. Are you good with babies?
Yeah. And dogs. I love
and
dogs.
Oh, we have a dog too, but the dog is not mine. So you can take care of the dog?
Yeah.
You can kill the dog, but that's between us.
No, I like dogs.
Okay.
I can keep the dog.
Okay.
The other
okay.
K word.
Okay. I have to go to my son.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you. It was a pleasure, Edward.
Thank you very
Edward.
Much.
No, thank
yes.
you.
Amazing. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Ed.
Kirsten.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Ed.
Have a seat. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm Ed. Edward. You're Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten, nice to meet you. Would you mind telling me a bit about yourself?
I live in The Hague.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I sleep in The Hague.
You sleep in The Hague?
Yeah. The Hague Forest.
The Hague Forest?
Yeah, Haagsebos.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
I work here in Amsterdam,
mm-hmm.
and I work for Dutch culture.
Okay.
And I live in The Hague with my husband and two cats.
Two cats.
Yeah.
Nice. You were born in the Netherlands?
Yes, in the east.
In the east. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is the land of plenty. I have some questions here for you.
Yeah.
Where did you sleep last night?
In my house.
In
my
Hague?
Bed in The Hague.
Yeah. What are you afraid of?
Hmm. I think the future of the world.
Okay, the future.
I'm afraid that the climate is out of control in terms of what we can do to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And I am worried about the wars that are going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your first memory with money?
I think asking my mom for it.
Yeah, allowance?
Because, yeah. I wanted to look like Madonna and Prince, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I wanted to go shopping and my mom probably said no.
Wait, how old were you that you wanted to go to Madonna and Prince?
This was an ongoing conversation between me and my mom.
Yeah.
I grew up with my mom. And then finally, she said, okay, you will get an... I was 10 when I got my allowance, and then I had to save for me to buy clothes. My mom was tired of me asking for it. So,
so your mom was a single parent?
Yes.
Back in the day? Did you work two jobs?
My mom worked one job, but it was a big job, long hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, before I came to Holland, my mom worked two jobs in two different restaurants. Like, I would only see her sleeping and getting up, yeah.
Where was that?
I was born in Trinidad, but I grew up in the Virgin Islands, the BVI. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Easy question. What's the most expensive thing you own?
My house.
Yeah, you own your own house?
Yes.
Oh, in The Hague? Oh, that's nice. What's the most valuable thing or precious thing?
I would say probably my wedding ring.
Your wedding? Oh,
yes.
That's sweet. That's the first time somebody said that. Two easy questions, now a difficult one. How much money do you have?
Do I have?
Yeah. Don't be scared. The last guy, he had a couple of millions and he was very nonchalant.
I don't have a couple of millions.
No.
I, in theory, have the value of my house, but that's in my house.
Well, if I'm correct, my house, the value of it at the Decathlon is 45 euros.
Because your house is a tent.
Yes. So what would your house be worth?
Maybe 700,000.
700,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell me about your brokest moment? Like, you were financially zero, rock bottom. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Several times in my life.
Oh, tell me.
The most recent one, I think, was after I came back from living abroad. And then I had to sort of start over again here.
Where did you live abroad?
In Tunisia.
In Tunisia. Oh, wow. And how was it coming back?
Difficult.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In which way? Because you have a Dutch passport, right?
I did.
Okay.
Even though I lived for a brief while without papers in Tunisia because my visa expired. Mm-hmm. That was also an interesting experience.
Yeah.
But coming back, I have my Dutch passport, but I had to find my life back, basically.
I grew up here, right? I came here in 2002. I had a green card and my papers got taken away from me. And I had to go back to my motherland to kind of do the procedure again. That didn't work out, and I ended up coming back to Holland, right? But I never had the Dutch passport. So I would like to hear your difficulties, because I can't understand with a Dutch passport how difficult it would be.
Not as difficult as it would have been by far without a passport.
Yeah.
So yeah, I found my way back.
Yeah, okay.
And I still had family.
Oh, yeah, you have family. Yeah, that's a good thing to depend on. Okay, the name of this project is called The Land of Plenty. Could you describe in your own words, like, how you envision the Land of Plenty?
A land where there are enough homes for everybody, where there's enough food for everybody, where nobody feels in need of anything because everybody's provided with what they need.
Is there a place that you might call the Land of Plenty in, like, a...
Not that I've seen.
No?
No.
And I bet you've been a lot of places.
I've traveled a lot, but I've never seen a country where I would feel that description applies.
This is not on the paper, but imagine if your first memory with money was not it being an allowance, but you having to struggle to get this money. Mm-hmm. Would you think there's another place that you would call the Land of Plenty if you growing up was different?
And yes.
Yeah?
Of course.
So, okay. What does hope mean to you?
That's an interesting question, because I had a long discussion with actually one of the speakers later tonight, Aetje. She was speaking in Brussels last year, And she actually made a whole argument against hope.
Oh, really?
Because she said hope is actually very dangerous, because we are led to believe that there is another horizon, we still have another chance. Mm-hmm. And she said hope is actually can be very paralyzing and it can be very negative. So she was arguing for faith rather than hope, because you need to know that the change is coming and not just hope.
What does hope mean for you, you specifically?
It used to mean optimism.
Okay.
And the belief that there was always another chance. Mm-hmm. However, in the current world, the state we're in, and maybe also the older I get, sometimes that optimism is less solid than it used to be.
Is hope for you a good thing or a bad thing?
It used to be a good thing.
And now it's a bad thing.
I'm not there yet that I'm saying it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I used to be in politics, and sometimes hope is sold to people to actually make them believe change is coming. Mm-hmm. But in fact, change is not coming, or not soon enough for a lot of people. And in that sense, it can be dangerous.
What is freedom to you?
Freedom for me is absolute right to be you as you want to be. So that means that you are living the life you choose for yourself. Mm-hmm. That for me is freedom.
Even if that life is a problem for somebody else?
That depends how you define problem. Freedom is never absolute in my beliefs. So as long as you do not harm anybody else, mm-hmm. So it can be a problem. It is a problem for some people that I have a tattoo, or it's a problem for some people that I wear pants. That I don't see as going against somebody else's freedom if they choose not to wear tattoos or pants. However, if I would then forbid them to wear whatever it is that they want to wear, then that would be a problem.
Okay. Two quick last questions. Do you think art can change society?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Good. Good. Clear answer.
Yes.
And the last question, we have some time. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I actually do. So you said that you live in a tent in the Haagse Bosch.
Yes.
Is there perspective for you that you will no longer have to live in a tent in the Haagse Bosch?
With hope there is. Without hope, it's just me living in a tent. Yeah.
And where's your hope based on then?
My hope is based on that, to be honest, that I meet somebody that's like, this is bullshit, we need to get this guy help. Because that's the only way you're in this system these days. Most of the interviewers are homeless, and that's the only way we get help. Either we're a number and we have to go there and there and there, or you meet somebody who's like, okay, you don't have to go anywhere, I have a guy's number, I'll give a call. And then you get help. So that's basically the hope. I can't really depend or say something's going to happen in the near future, you know.
I would like, if I may, I would like to see if I can find people in The Hague who can help you.
I cannot
promise they can help you, but I can try.
No, that's fine. I'm open to anything. It's better than the forest. Yeah.
Impressive conversation.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much.
This is
a loss for words.
It's very, yeah. I think also very brave of you to share your story in such a way.
Yeah, I've held it in a long time, but people, they underestimate me, or they think, oh, he's doing good, his clothes are clean, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's totally the opposite.
Yeah. I have to leave, I think. How do I stay in touch if...
I could give you my email or my number.
Yeah, could you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the first episode. Next week, Miguel will talk with journalist and political commentator Ece Temelkuran and author Jaap Scholte. See you then.